Little, okay. Wednesday even, 7/27/22. We're gonna do part two of decently and in order, the home order. First scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. So we've been looking at the home order, specifically at the woman. We will get to the man part of it, but we're going to finish up with the woman tonight, I believe. The Lord's given me permission to use Brother Hagin's book, The Woman Question, kind of as a guideline, because it's freed a lot of women up to be able to do ministry and be free to do what God's called them to do. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:34 says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them. I'm really echoing. Okay, and permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded, that's better, to be under obedience, as also saith the law. The law that here pertains to the Ten Commandments, or the first five books of the Bible, are the entire Old Testament. All right, let's start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So man is the equivalent of male and female. Created he them. I've, you know, read too about what Brother Copeland said about Viva la difference, that God really is male and female. And when you get into Hebrew, you see that it is definitely defined that way. All right, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we see here God gave women and men equal standing to take dominion in the garden. Yeah. Okay. Now Genesis 2, look at 21 and 22. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. All right? Taken out of his side. Equal, co-equal. Is marriage a good thing? Yeah. God didn't mean for man to be alone, but he needed a help meet. All right? Verse 18 of Genesis 2. The Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Now this is what it means. Help means aid or supply. Meet means opposite. So men and women, when they work together as a team, it's like God comes together as a whole. That's how I've heard it explained. That God took Adam and did this, made two, according to his likeness and his image. All right. This is what my Bible reference says. She is to be equal to and adequate for man. She is also made in the image of God. So you could say that women or woman came out of man, and man comes out of woman. Well, this is actually 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. All right. It wasn't until the curse came that there was a division. All right, go back to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start with 16. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So this system that men are subject to, basically men, it's just you just work till you die type of deal. That was not God's plan. He wanted man to walk by faith and do what he did, tend the earth the way he created it to tend it the same way. But here comes the curse, and it just shuts down what God wants to do. And because of the curse being in place, man became subject to the evil one. His systems and his ways, just like we see working and operating today. Okay? All right. In this context, regarding women, it was only the wife. He's talking about the wife here. Okay. Thank God for Jesus, though. He set men and women free. So they're not under this, according to Galatians 3:13. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Okay. All right. Now go to Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All right? Men and women are both called sons of God. It's not a gender thing. Gender's a big thing today because of the devil. That's all we hear, gender assessment surgery, critical race theory, trying to push gender drugs on children in school, bringing in drag queens, those nasty, skanky, from the pit of hell drag queens in to pervert our children. What the devil did in Genesis? Because men did not listen to God. The woman listened to the devil, and Adam being privy to it also. This is what we deal with today if we're not in Christ Jesus. But because we are now, we don't have to be subject to that, the law of sin and death. All right. Because before that, men wouldn't die. They would have lived forever. That's where we're headed, y'all. All right, 1 John 3:2. I told you both men and women are called sons of God. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it shall not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thinking, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'd take that right now. Must women always obey and never have any say? I remember Brother Hagin talking about a family where the woman was so nervous and the children were just scared out of their brains. And the man would come home, and if he didn't like the food, he'd just clear the table and push it all in the floor. That kind of thing. And, you know, men have taken it to the next level. So have women. What do you think feminism is all about? It's that rebellion against unfair treatment that the devil used as an advantage to get women to step out of their place in God and try to go. That's what feminism, the true feminism is. Equality with men. Because when you've been abused by men, whether it be a father or whoever that was harsh or whatever, it puts that with something the devil can work with. Let me just say that through hurts and different things. All right. 1 Peter 3:6. Women are not inferior to men. Men are not inferior to women, not in the eyes of God. But women that aren't in God think they have to prove something with their little pink hats on or whatever you, I'm not going to call them what they call them, but I'm just telling you. I mean, after Donald Trump got elected on Inauguration Day, that big mass of women that showed up with their little pink pea hats on, they were making a statement. All right, 1 Peter 3:6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if men don't want their prayers hindered, they got to walk in the right way towards their wives, even though they are the head of their wife, their authority over them. We need to look at authority the way it's supposed to be, not as a bad thing. Authority really is just God's divine order. It's his placement in the body, in the home order, the ministry order, in the church order. Everyone has a head. Jesus is the head of the church. Everyone has authority over them. Everyone. I don't know anybody that doesn't have some type of authority over them. Okay, we know that Abraham gave in to Sarah on some issues. They had Ishmael, didn't they? I'm going, dear Lord, was she stupid? Stupid or what? All right, this is Genesis 16. We've got to look at that one. What woman do you ever hear say to do that? But back then it was customary to have multiple wives. It was not a big deal, polygamy. All right, Genesis, this is 16, 5 and 6. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand to do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Well, see, up here, what you know, it says here, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in to my maid. it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And so Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, for Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. So God had already given the promise to Abram at that time, that he was going to give him a son out of Sarah. But 10 years passed and nothing happened. So what happened? Start listening to the flesh instead of what God has said. All right, Genesis 21, 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous to Abraham's sight because of his son. See, he was like 14 years old at that time, something like that. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because of he is thy seed. So he sent them packing. Just as we've been looking at the apostles and prophets, did God put them in the body of Christ to lord over? No. It's the same with the men and women. It is God's order of authority, and when we are in order, there is unity, and where there is unity, there is the anointing. We read that in Psalms 133 last week. Well, let's read it again, because I think you'll begin to see the authority, right placement of authority. Okay. It's a short psalm. All right. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. We're talking about Aaron, the first high priest, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So when things are in order, the anointing flows. That's what God wants for his homes. That's what he wants for ministries, and that's what he wants for the church. He wants unity. Okay. The corporate world understands this. Most people put up with the boss they can't, a lot of times can't stand, or somebody above them that they just don't like. But is that authority? Yes, it is. How come it's such a mess in the church? I think we have misunderstood how much a blessing it is when we are in our proper place in the home and in the church and in ministry. Satan is the causer of division. Feminism is a distorted view that has caused women to go off the rails. Yeah. Feminism is equality of the sexes. Well, I believe God has already set that down in his word. You know, if they want to know who they are, then they need to pray in the spirit and renew their mind so God can show them who they are as a woman. That way, they won't be pushed down and feel inferior and fight back in the flesh to get that fulfillment that they're desiring. Because that's what this is about. They're desiring fulfillment, and they're not getting it. Well, it's because they're not turning to God, and our nation has been away from God. And this is a result. It's my prayer for the body of Christ that women get in divine order so they can be the happiest that they've ever been, ever. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's actually a protection. All right. Make stay-at-home moms great again. I know, because I was a stay-at-home mom, I was made to feel like just, you know, naturally the world speaking, everything was to the working woman and the career woman and all that stuff. So if you stayed home, well, you just stay at home. You ain't nothing. You don't do nothing. That was the way I felt. I felt very frustrated for many years. If you did it at home, well, then you weren't worth anything. That's changed, hadn't it? Now most people are working out of their home. It really did. It flipped, didn't it? Yeah. We have a society taken over by the devil, one that is turned completely upside down and out of order. Men want to be women and have periods and babies. Women want to be men and be the breadwinner. Yeah. During World War II, women had to leave their homes and go to work. They helped the men out. They're helpmates. They helped the men out. The problem is they didn't want to go back into the kitchens afterwards. They got a taste of freedom. This started the country into a spiral, and the disappearances of all the children began. Because the moms were not at home taking care, because see, they're supposed to run the household, bear the children. They weren't home to take care of the children. Kids became latchkey kids. We were latchkey kids. See what happens when we're out of divine order? I'm not saying that women can't work. But it's laid down in Scripture about especially children, child-bearing women, those that bear children, that they are to raise those children. They're to be a watch over those children. It says to guard your house. Keep the devil out of your house. That's not popular nowadays. It's not popular, especially among the young women. They want to go run and play and get their nails did. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to be home. I'm thinking, I didn't get my nails done until I was nearly 60 years old. We didn't have money for stuff like that. We had to buy school clothes and glasses and braces and, you know, buy food and... We didn't do anything. We didn't have the money to do anything. All right, let's keep going here. Titus 2. See, the older women are supposed to be teaching the younger women, it says in the Scripture, how to love their husbands, how to do things. And, you know, they used to pass it down, you know, to the boys got passed down, the hunting and the fishing and all the trades and all that. And the women, they learned how to run a household, bake and sew. All right, Titus 2. I'm going to start with verse 1 there. Bespeak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. This is talking about the job, the bosses, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Is this divine order we're talking about here? Sure is. The way God wants it. The way it's supposed to be. All right. Everyone is under authority regardless of where they're placed. When you allow yourself to be placed, order is established. Remember, as the church goes, so goes the nation. Yeah. Men have taken out of context that all women are to obey all men in everything. Wives are not subject to obeying all their husbands say, especially if it compromises them spiritually. Now, if your husband tells you to go and do something that's you compromises you, and you get that tug in you, no. Your allegiance is to the Lord. You know, some men, they might want their wives to go to the bars with them or something. I don't know. But anyway, he's Lord of all. He's Lord over the woman. He's Lord over the man. So he calls the shots. All right? He can be the overriding factor. Okay, let's read a few more. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know what submit means? It means to yield. Kind of like in the church, whenever the gifts of the Spirit, you defer, a deferment. Like if you got two different opinions, if I say, okay, I'm not in agreement, but I'm going to defer to you. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave joined unto his wife, or shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So it's a reflection of Christ in the church. All right. Colossians 3, 18. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. See, we're really, when it comes to parents and children, the children, it should be natural for them to turn to God because of the example that's set before them. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. All right, Hebrews 13, 17. It says to obey them that had the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That means to yield to. All right, don't we do that with the Lord? We may not always like it, but we know that he knows best. You like everything the Lord's asked you to do? Huh? Well, he has set up his structure, and that is his divine order, and we follow it. A few more scriptures will be done. 1 Peter 2, I read 3. 1 Peter 2:13. It says to submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. In other words, you just put up with it, is what it's saying. You suffer for putting up with it. For what glory is it if, when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Yeah, it's not fun, but for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by his stripes we are healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returning to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So Jesus showed the prime example of not reviling against leaders. I mean, he did call out the Pharisees during his ministry. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Peter 3, I read you part of this, but we're going to read just a few more scriptures here. It says, likewise, ye wives, verse 1, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, and let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. All right, 1 Peter 5:5. Get a drink here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay, when we honor God and we do this, God honors us. One more scripture. The Lord has spoken to us about divine order in the church. The home order is just one part of his plan, but a very important one. This scripture to me sums it all up. This is 1 Timothy 1, or 2, actually. 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. It'll be the church order, the ministry order, the home order, all government, all authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Okay.